views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Reclaim your power and learn to live your most amazing life with Mike Murphy Unfiltered Radio. Unfettered, unflinching, unafraid. Tune in every Thursday from noon to 2 Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Mike explores authentic and relevant truth and powerful conversations with some of the world's most renowned game changers. This hit show taps the dynamic principles of the creation frequency to unleash unlimited infinite potential and guide you to manifesting the highest possibilities of your heart. Level up your life and rewire your programming. Think new thoughts and create true freedom. Let's expand energy, build true health and explosive frequency consciousness together. Powerful people, powerful conversations, powerful listeners. Infinite possibilities, fostering peace and joy with an unfiltered heart. Now, here's Mike Murphy, unfiltered.
Day noon to 2 Pacific time. Well, I hope you enjoyed Ellen Daly, the first hour, showing us how to write a book, how to become an author. But I'm super excited for our next guest. Not only is he a renowned author, publisher, a writer of many books, he also has been a publisher since 1977. And his name is Mark Allen, and he's the president of New World Library Publishing in Marin County. And he's also a renowned author, as I stated before. And my favorite book that he wrote is called The Greatest Secret of All, Simple Steps to Abundance, Fulfillment, and a Life Well Lived. I have to tell you a cute little story. I was going to have a meeting with Mark about maybe 18 months ago or so. And I knew the name, you know, and I just thought of him as a publisher. And then I know this name. And so I started researching it. And then I looked at his books. Well, in 2007, when his book came out, The Greatest Secret of All, I bought one for every member in my family, all my siblings, my wife, my children. And the reason I know this is I found one and I inscribed it to my daughter, Kelly. And I said, Kelly, read this book and everything you want in your life will come true. And so how ironic that here we are. And Mark, I'm so grateful for you joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. That's a great story, Mike. Man, what a great father you have. I can't imagine my dad doing anything like that.
Well, it was a wonderful book and I really enjoyed it. And so did everyone in our family. Let me ask you this. So we just spent the last hour speaking with a collaborative writer, ghostwriter. And before we talk about publishing, you're a renowned author. And any tips for the audience on, you know, because I'm sure, you know, I get it all the time. That once you write a book, everybody wants to write a book. We all have a book in us because we all have a story. Now, whether it's a good story and a sellable story is another thing. So I'm sure you get that a lot. But what advice or tips would you give to anybody listening today about becoming an author or how to become a successful author?
Boy, there are several things I just say over and over. It does seem often a person's first book is their story, and that's fine. You got to write what's in your heart. Don't follow trends. Write what's in your heart. If that is your story, that's fine. But most stories, if you're thinking of selling a book, most memoirs are boring and don't sell unless you're already famous for something else. So the successful first books we've had have not been people's stories. Like The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, that we published, is his first book. It's not a story. He's just speaking directly, or he actually tells his story in the first page and a half. That's it, a page and a half, and it's an amazing story. He's suicidally depressed and then had this breakthrough. And the rest of the time, he's just speaking directly to the reader. Our second best-selling book, Creative Visualization, that was Shakti Gawain's first book. Again, she didn't even mention herself in that. We had just been kind of tricked into doing this workshop, and she just gave the workshop. She just told everything she told in the workshop for the first book. So if your first book is your memoir, is your story, that's wonderful. Don't expect it to be a bestseller. Some are, though. I mean, like that book, Eat, Pray, Love, was an incredible memoir from a person I hadn't heard of. Now, maybe, you know, it was beautifully written. It had a great title. It had a great story right in there. Eat, Pray, Love summed up her three things she learned after her divorce. And so it was a brilliant hook to it. So memoirs can work. But
what I hear you saying, Mark, find something that you're an expert in that you can provide value for the reader and then write it for that particular audience, those readers that need that content. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I love like the teaching in your book, the frequency creation in the end about always do something to give to other people, give to other people. And so the best books are what people are really giving something of value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. So I didn't know this until just recently on researching for this show, but you started New World Library in 1977 with a woman you've already mentioned, Shotki Gawain. And so I don't know much about her until just recently as well, but I'd always hear her names, especially in spiritual associations or groups, you know? But I understand that you started this with her. And by the way, my condolences. I hear she recently passed away in November. So my condolences to you and all that know her and love her. I read that she's published sold over 10 million books. So that's amazing. But tell us, why did you guys start it? And give us a brief little history of when you started it, why, and how you started small, et cetera, and where you are today.
I started it. It was the day I turned 30. And in fact, I was thinking driving in about your book, Creation Frequency, and how you dare talk about frequency in a way that I've never really talked about it, but I totally agree with what you're saying. And I was thinking, the day I turned 30 is the day I started the company. I woke up in a really low frequency. I woke up in a state of shock that I was 30. I wasn't a kid anymore. I woke up in a state of frustration that I'd been in for a while because I had no job. I had no money. I'd had a rock band that had broken up. Then I had a series of jobs. I kept getting fired. I was fired as a dishwasher and a busboy for being too slow. I was fired for a typesetter for not showing up on time because I was at the beach. I just kept getting fired. So I woke up in a very frustrated place the day of my 30th birthday. And I remember I couldn't have a party. I had to be alone. I was alone just pacing up and down in my room. I was 30. What was I going to do with my life? And then I remembered a little game I'd played during this disastrous back to the land experiment I did when I was about 22 or 23. I lasted about 5 months. We moved out to the country. It was a disaster. It was in September and October in Oregon, and it was freezing, and we had no buildings. We had no, I don't know what we were thinking. There was a septic tank. That was it. There was no electricity. There was no water. There was nothing. I don't know what we were thinking. But during that one night during that time, we were sitting around the fire, and this one couple said, let's play a game we play at church camp. Let's imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as we could imagine. What would our lives look like?
Awesome.
And we all went around the fire and everybody spoke. And I've tried to remember. I don't remember a word of what I said then. So it had no impact in my life. But the day I turned 30, I remembered that game. I thought, okay, I should play this game. This is a good idea. But this time I took a sheet of paper and I wrote ideal scene at the top. They called it the ideal scene game. I wrote ideal scene. And then I said, okay, let me imagine I'm now 35. Oh my God, that's almost middle aged. 35, but I'm living the life of my dreams. What is the life of my dreams? And there my creation frequency rose and rose and rose and rose just to imagine that. Imagine the life of my dreams. And much to my amazement, because I'd been a musician, an actor, a spiritual seeker, I'd never had a thing to do with business at all. Never took a class or anything. But the first thing I wrote was, I have a successful publishing company publishing my books. And I record my music. And I have a big white house on a hill in Marin County. I lived in the slums of Oakland, a little tiny slum apartment with bars on a window in not a nice neighborhood down in the flats. You know, like Oakland, you know, not a nice neighborhood. Cheap. and you wouldn't want to raise a kid there. And so I have a big White House in Marin. And of course, doubts and fears just started coming in so hard. I dared to add one thing. I said, oh yeah, this is my ideal. Okay, I want a life of ease. I don't want to work too hard. I want to do musician's hours. I never liked mornings. I was never a morning person. I said, I have a life of ease, working when I please. Mm-hmm. And I put that down. And that became, from there I saw there's a list of goals. Start a publishing company, start writing books, start recording music, start learning about real estate. A lot of starts because I had nothing happening. But I literally made a list of goals. And then I turned it into affirmations. A list of goals is affirmations, which I carry around to this day in my pocket. Wow. I carry my list of goals as affirmations that I started the day I turned 30.
And powerful.
I have them right here.
Super powerful. How often do you update them or look at them and say, okay, these are the new ones?
I always do. My birthday happens to be July 1st. So always on January 1st and July 1st, I update.
Well, you know, when you're telling that story, you know, of course, I'm getting really excited inside because that's exactly what I teach in the Creation Frequency. And while you were doing it in Oakland, the mystery man out there in Pleasanton, California, was teaching me the exact same concept. And that's what the Creation Frequency is all about. And for the younger listeners, because this won't apply to you because, you know, I know how difficult technology is to us old people, but we've actually created an app at iTunes and Google Play where you can download a tape recorder embedded with high frequency theta brainwave music and record those intentions and then play it back every morning, every night, and you'll just speed up this process. But look at this man who did the exact same process we teach. Look where he is today. Amazing.
Yeah. I'm about 5 years later, I looked back and I pretty much nailed my 5-year dream.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how it works?
Yes.
And you still do it today.
Yes.
You're still doing it, you know.
It is amazing. It is. I often think we never really can understand the mystery of creation, how it really works, but we can set it in motion. I know you said the same thing. We can understand it enough to know what sets it in motion.
Yeah.
It's our own mind. It's our own visualization, our dreams, our intention.
Yeah.
I saw myself. I saw my big white house on a hill. I saw my publishing company. I saw my books before they existed.
And Mark, tell me if you agree, but I believe that everything that's in the physical existence reality comes from thought and desire before it ever can get here.
Yes, it really does. Many metaphysical traditions talk about that, including Kabbalah, but also even Buddhism, all kinds of things where, I mean, when you think about it, it makes scientific sense. Everything created was first a thought.
Mm-hmm.
First a thought. Several traditions break things down. We have four different bodies or levels of being or whatever. We are spiritual beings, and then we're mental and emotional and physical. And the way many say is, first, all the good stuff is just this spiritual impulse. But then when it becomes a clear idea, a clear thought, it's halfway created. And then when we take that thought down and put an emotion behind it of our heart, an emotion of love, when our thoughts are aligned with our hearts, they then manifest.
Amen. Amen, folks. What Mark's saying right now is congruency. You know, we got to get the left brain, right brain congruent with the heart and the soul. And now we're congruent. And now the what we want to do will just download into us and we'll get that spark. We'll get that desire and we'll get the game plan so that we can bring it into the physical reality. But we got to start with what the outcome is going to be, just like he did. So you got to figure out where you want to be in 5 years and then the plan will show up how to get there. Let me ask you this, because you published one of my favorite books of all time, one I had to read four or five times before I could really even comprehend it. And of course, that's Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now. I mean, you must be very brilliant, because if I got that for the first time, I read so many losses. I knew there was something good here, but I couldn't quite figure it out. But you did. You published it and you sold millions of copies. Tell us about that.
I've never seen another book in over 40 years of publishing that had an impact like that on me. I knew it was that special. Literally within 30 seconds of starting to read it, wow, I said, There's no other book like this. It's completely unique. I once asked Eckhart why he thought the book was so successful, and he just smiled and he said all he knows is that he waited to write every sentence until it came from presence.
Wow.
Every sentence came from presence. And by that, he clearly means that deep, that thoughtless space, the space beyond active mind. So many of us writers, almost all of us, you know, get into our active mind when we're writing because we're putting words on paper. He sat there. He said an amazing thing, too. He started it in California, in Sausalito, and then he went back to England, and he couldn't write it in England. He tried over and over to write it in England, and then he wasn't getting into presence. He wasn't writing. And then he came back to the West Coast, to Vancouver, and he finished it in Vancouver.
Wow. That might say something about the energy flow over there in England. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe the Queen's giving off some bad mojo. So you and what I love, and this is really important, folks, if you look at the Go to New World Library website, you're going to see books like you can't believe. I mean, I think all my bookshelf is in there as well. I've purchased most of those books. And one I really love is the Deepak Chopra, the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. What was it like publishing that book and being involved in that process?
That was fun. And it's his best-selling book. We really worked with him and really edited a lot, which is why I think it is his best-selling book. He normally does books with Random House, and I don't think they edit like we did. His first idea that came in was the 10 Spiritual Laws of Money.
Oh,
remember, we said, well, some of these aren't laws exactly, and maybe success is a better title. And, you know, we really edited that thing. And he has stayed behind it, too, and teaches courses on it, which has really helped.
Super cool. So let's put on the Mark publishing hat. And so, you know, we've been teaching people for the last 40 minutes now about being an author, which, you know, a lot of people claim they want to write a book. As a publisher, what are you looking for? I know you got to find a book that you think is going to be sellable, but what else is important to you when you're interviewing an author or deciding whether to take on their material?
Yeah, agents and authors are always saying, what are you looking for? And all I can say is we look for something we fall in love with. We have three or four editors here that acquire, and it's they acquire what they love. We all, you know, I love this. Like the minute I saw your submission, I said, I like this. And then heard your story, and I said, okay, this is a great story. And the way it's structured with the seven meetings of the guy and the final secret at the end, beautiful. I fell in love with it. It was a great idea. So we published it. And other than that, it's like, I mean, there's things that turn us off. Like if a writer, and they often, I've had this so many, they say, oh, this is a new trend. This is a trend. We don't follow trends. We make trends. I don't pay any attention to any trends whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Or if an author says, oh, this will make a lot of money. It's like, if their focus is on making money, then that's not the right focus, in my opinion, for a successful book. The author has to be passionate about what they're writing. It's their purpose in life. It's their calling. We look for authors that are slightly crazy about what they're focused on, you know, and they talk about their book at length. And I often cut them off. Okay, I got the point. You know, I don't have to hear a 45-minute course in the depth of your book. I don't have to hear that, but I get that you're really passionate about it and you're on a mission. I love people with missions. Like we took over the Joseph Campbell books, and I just love dealing with them because those guys in the foundation are crazily mission oriented. They love Joseph Campbell so much. Mm. It's their lives and it's the purpose in their lives. So I love working with them and publishing what they come up with, you know.
Awesome.
In general, that's it. It's people that are passionate and loving and are really focused on it. Many other writers, they tend to jump around. They follow this trend or that trend. They're on to another thing as soon as they do their one book. And we try to avoid that.
Yeah, I think that's what differentiates you between a lot of other publishers. You know, first of all, you have a big heart, you care about people, you care about the message, and your intention is pure. And in exploring other publishers and stuff like that, you can see where, you can tell who's out for the money. And even authors, you can tell who's just writing this to make money. And so I love your approach, and I think that's why you've been so successful. So you brought up the word agent. So does an author need to get an agent to find a publisher? How's that work?
For the big five publishers, I guess they all require an agent. So if you want to approach the big guys, yes. But for us and a lot of others, no, it doesn't matter to us. We maybe half the time we deal with agents and half the time directly with authors. It's fine. I even prefer dealing directly with an author.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this, because I know, you know, like my first book came out in 2014, Love Unfiltered. So I didn't even try to get a publisher because I was nobody and, you know, the book was just okay. But so I self-published it, but I didn't self-publish it quite the way you would think, because I use what's called a vanity publishing house. Mm-hmm. So if you are a new author and you can't get a publisher, can't get an agent, which avenue would you take? Vanity or and let me just, that's somebody that does all the work that Mark's company does, but they don't really do much other than that. And you're kind of on your own anyways. And so how would you speak to that, you know, self-publishing versus getting a vanity type of publisher?
I would encourage them to do self-publishing, or there are these new hybrid publishers that are kind of half vanity and half self-publishing in a way that
I like that. Yeah.
Vanity used to have a real negative connotation, because unless a person just wanted their book out and didn't care if it sold, the vanity publishers make their money off the authors.
Right. Right.
But there are a lot of new hybrid publishers that they're like She Writes is one, and there's a bunch of them now, even Barrett Kohler, if it's legal or anything, I guess now, where the authors do put up money for the book.
Yeah.
But they're dealing with a real publisher that really has a sales force that really launches the book and gets it out there and makes most of their money from book sales.
Yeah.
That's ideally what you want as an author, if you want to sell your book. If you just want a book out. When I started publishing, I started another little book, little company called Whatever Bookworks, that helped people publish and typeset or whatever. And there were people that came and said, look, I know this book's not going to sell. I just want this book as a present for my father, was one case I remember, and the story of his life. And okay, that kind of thing, that was vanity publishing. They paid me to turn notes into a book to give to their father, and they were totally happy with it. In fact, in that they were in tears when they saw the final book.
Yeah.
So that's great. If that's all you want is a book, then vanity is fine. But research it a bit and find out. There's all these new hybrids that will sell, get your books out there and sell. And who knows? There's a magic behind certain titles.
Yeah. And
even if they're not that well promoted, some start selling word of mouth.
Yeah. And let me throw my two cents in for the audience, because I went through this and I wasted a lot of money. And so my advice, there's some really good companies, guys out there that will help you lay out the book and kind of help you with the cover. And you can always get a content editor and an editor for the grammar and what have you. And that doesn't cost a lot of money. But if you go with some of these firms, they're going to sell you a $25,000 package, and they're going to make a lot of promises that I promise you will never come true. So your best to really keep control of the situation until you can get a good enough platform to get your own publisher. But keep the cost down, because it can get really out of control. And if you're competitive like me, you know, you want to be successful, and the next thing you know, you're broke. So be careful is all I can say.
Good advice.
And I've heard you speak about how your books have a long shelf life. You're looking for books that are going to always keep selling. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. My favorite book that we've published is our version of the Bhagavad Gita, a classic from India. That's been selling for 5,000 years.
Wow.
So I want to put books out that will be selling in 5,000 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's so important. You know, and I look at your library of all the books you publish. I mean, they're all still great books and still great sellers. I mean, I think it's amazing what you've done.
Yeah, yeah. Our books tend to backlist, they call it, where every year, 75% of our sales are our backlist. We looked to acquire a publishing company, and only 25% of their titles were backlist. Meaning,
so the other ones were dead, right?
They're dead. Yeah. And every year they have to put out a lot of books that that sell in order to match last year's. And we looked at their numbers and looked at ours and said, no, we got it going. We publish, and that's something we always look for. We don't like books that have references to like current presidents and things, right, current events, because they age. Even Barbara Marx Hubbard, Conscious Evolution, we caught, she said, as we approach, when we first did it, it was as we approach the end of the 20th century. So, oh, we had to change it. We worded differently, you know, because we want this book to sell well into the 21st century, which it is doing.
Wow. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Mark about a couple things. One, his tagline, success with ease, which is I want to get a little better at that. And then I also want to tell you an interesting story of what happened to me when I approached New World Library and Mark Allen to get my book published. Please stay with us, and we'll see you in just a few seconds. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show. And we have a special guest, renowned author and super great publisher, Mark Allen, coming to us from Marin in live today. And when I left you last, I was going to tell you a little story about meeting Mark and getting him to publish my book. His company was originally approached by an agent that someone else had hired for me. And they basically, it wasn't going anywhere. You know, so after about 2 or 3 months, nothing was happening. I asked the agent if I could contact Mark directly. And she said, sure. And Mark agreed to speak with me. And he said, Mike, listen, I really like your book. I'm a big fan of your book, actually, but my team doesn't like it. And so therefore we can't buy it. And I said, okay. Or maybe I think he suggested, I'll tell you what a great guy he is. He said, Mike, how about if you restructure it a little bit like this? Boom, 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 boom. And I said, sure, we'd be happy to. So we pretty much did not a complete rewrite, but we gave it a lot more effort. We restructured exactly how he suggested. And sure enough, the team then liked it and were willing to invest in it and buy it. And that came out last May, and it's still selling really well and doing great. And I'm super excited about that. But just the way he worked with me, you know, I mean, because believe me, I have one book right now, 140 publishers have turned down. So I kind of feel like a real author, but you know, just the way he was willing to work and open his mind, open his door, give me ideas to make it a better book. I'm so grateful for that, Mark. How common is that for you?
It's pretty common, although it's fairly rare that an author like you takes it and runs with it and does exactly what I suggested. I mean, it was great. Your story was so simple and clear and would have made a great book organization. And you totally rewrote to make it that simple story, the 7 weeks. I really think you made it work.
Yeah, well, I really love that approach. I'll tell you why, because one of my favorite authors of all time is Og Mandino. You know, and that's how he would structure a book. So when you suggested it, it resonated with me right away because he kind of writes like that too. And wow. So it was just a great idea. And I'm so grateful that we were able to do it and get together and get that book out. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you for your rewrite. It was great.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and you might not be the person that actually does this. In fact, you probably aren't because you believe in success with ease, but who actually rejects these authors, and what's that like?
Oh, we all do rejections. We get so many submissions. So I do my share of rejections, that's for sure. And I never like it. And I often will preface it saying, you know, it's just all a judgment call too. And I could be totally wrong. I often say, I passed on the Celestine prophecy. So what?
Okay.
You know, yeah. There's a big fish on that getaway.
That was a good one too.
Yeah, that was a great one. And I looked at it and thought, needs editing. And well, what really in the beginning when he self-published, he said it was a true story, and I knew within two So I did just kick myself when Warner or whoever published it called it fiction. I just thought, had I known he would have called it fiction, probably would have published it. But it is just all a judgment call. And so many rejections we make are just because of other factors. Maybe we've done similar books just recently that is sort of competing with ourselves. Maybe it's one of those books that's a tweener, our marketing people. It's not in one specific category that we can sell in Barnes & Noble. And that's the editors always come in, they love the book. They don't care. They just love the book. Then the marketing people think, how can I sell this book? Where does that go in Barnes & Noble? And they'll sometimes say, it's between the cracks. What kind of book is this? Mm-hmm. And so there's all these other sales factors. In our early years, we basically we published everything the editors liked because we didn't have good marketing. But now that we've got good marketing and distribution, we have to listen to those people. And if they're saying they can't sell the book, we rarely push on and publish it. And when we do, it usually doesn't sell.
How important, let's say I come to you with a book, I'm an author, just wrote a book, and the book is okay, and you guys say, we think it's sold, but I got a huge platform. I got a huge database of email. I got a million people following me on Instagram and Facebook. How much of does that play into it?
That's a major now, major. Every acquisitions meeting we have when the editors pitch a book, the first thing marketing says is, what's the author's platform? What's the author's platform?
Yeah.
If editors are really enthused and it's a book like The Power of Now, where the author has zero platform, but the editors are so enthused about it, we'll still do it. But the better the author's platform, the better the chances of getting published for sure.
Did you do the audio version of Power of Now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I read The Power of Now at least 5 times, and I just love it. It's just such a deep, rich book. When you start grasping the concepts, it gets even more exciting, right? But I will say the audio version, if I'm can't get to sleep, I just put that on, and old Eckhart puts me to sleep in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Just to get those words subconsciously going as you.
Well, in his voice, his demeanor. I mean, he's so present in the moment. But I mean, I get a little excited at time, and like he's just like boom, even right, which yeah. I love. I mean, I'd love to be like that actually. But yeah, I just love that book, and I know that was a huge success for you. I want to switch gears a little bit. First of all, before we switch gears, I know you're in the music. And you're a composer. And so tell us what you do in the music. And, if we're interested in purchasing your music, how can we find it? Where do we go?
Oh, great. Yeah, I've got 7 albums you've never heard of. You can just now, you can go on YouTube and do Mark Allen Music, Mark with a C-A-L-L-E-N Music. I've got 5 instrumental albums. My last one, Awakening, is a big orchestral thing. The first one, Breathe, is... it was voted years ago a New Age Golden Oldie. I mean, years ago, that did really well. We sold 60,000 of them.
Wow.
At the time that it came out, mostly to metaphysical bookstores and things.
Wow.
When we started getting in the music stores, then that's when we started having problems with the music industry. Book publishing industry is so great. Music industry is such a mess. that, so we sell our albums... alternately, really.
Well, it's very difficult for artists to make money, right? That's why all these, you got 80-year-olds out touring every weekend because they don't get the royalties they used to get.
No, I really think coming from book publishing, I've had contracts with a major music company, and I think the heads of every music company should be in jail because what they're doing and what they've always done since the beginning should be illegal. It's certainly immoral, unethical. Music started with all these people recording all these black blues guys and completely ripping them off, having them sign things that gave up all their royalties.
Right.
And that established the whole corporate culture. To this day, music companies just rip off their artists, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Book publishing is so much more fair and honorable and transparent.
I have to tell you, I wrote my first song over the summer. I was getting married. I've always wanted to write a song for 30 years, right? And it's difficult because I'm not a musician. I can't sing. I don't play an instrument. So I found some music that people wrote on YouTube for people to write lyrics to. Then I tried to squeeze my lyrics into that. So then I had a pretty good, decent little outline. And then I found a real musician to clean it up. And then we played it when my wife, when I got married to my wife in July.
Oh, that's great. Like, yeah. That's wonderful.
It was super cool. So, I mean, it's off the, you know, I can check that off my to-do list now. I finally did it because it was a lot more work than I realized. Maybe that's why I always quit for 30 years, but I'm glad I did. It was fun. Do you play an instrument, or are you just compose, or what do you do?
No, I play piano. I played piano since I was 10. Wow. And I play guitar. I've composed some on guitar. But mostly piano, and I sing. I've got two vocal albums, one called Seeds, that's a album of all spiritual songs, one amazing song that I literally dreamed the words to at night in a dream.
Wow.
And I've got an album called Evening Song that's all romantic songs. The first one is called Oh Mistress Mine, and the words are by Shakespeare.
Wow.
He was a pretty good lyricist.
What's more of your passion, music or books?
Oh, I love them both. I just equally. They're so different. In fact, I will often at home, my usual day alone, I'll write for a while, then I'll just get up and play for a while and go back and write. And they're a wonderful balance. It really is like a left-right brain thing. I can feel the shift totally out of the writing mind and into the music mind. I love them both.
Yeah. Well, you know, you come across as super at ease, super peaceful, somewhat spiritual in a very positive, good way. And so I want to share the opening words on your website that I went to today. That's markwithacallen.com if you want to be inspired, ladies and gentlemen. And Mark wrote, "You are a unique, creative genius, capable of realizing your most expansive dreams, life, and fulfilling your true purpose. Moving up and helping others move up the pyramid of human consciousness to self-actualization and fulfillment." Mark Allen, success with ease. Hmm. Tell the audience a little bit about your spirituality, your consciousness. What does all mean to you, and how does it work with you in your day-to-day living?
Well, I feel fortunate in that I was really neurotic in my college years, really depressed, and it sent me on this path. I ended up going to a Zen center, totally disciplined, because I'm not a morning person. I'd been a musician. I'd had a rock band and everything. And here I was getting up at 5:30 in the morning and doing the Zen all day, 6 days a week for almost 6 months I did that. And I walked out of there feeling healed It really was a great thing for me to do when I was 22 or something. And then I wandered around the so-called spiritual smorgasbord of Berkeley, California. That's what we called it, a spiritual smorgasbord. And studied with all kinds of things and just became a workshop junkie. And that's when I met Shakti Gawain. And then we ended up sort of being tricked into leading a workshop. We were supposed to support this guy. And he had basically a nervous breakdown in 10 minutes before the workshop, when 25 people had come for a 4-day workshop. I was supposed to just support him handing out stuff, and Shakti was going to cook for these 25 people. And 10 minutes before, he said, "I can't handle this." And he ended up at my door. And so Shakti and I led our first workshop. I was like 28 or 29. Mm-hmm. And she was 2 years younger. We never would have had the courage to do a workshop, but we did it. And that really, that guy's nervous breakdown launched my career.
Isn't it funny how life does that sometimes to us?
Yes. Yes. It was amazing. Shakti went, you know, and we both just threw in everything we'd learned being workshop junkies, and people loved it.
Yeah,
we were amazed.
Awesome. Do you still do workshops?
I still do. Mostly tele seminars and stuff, but I still do some live workshops. Yeah. I haven't got any scheduled yet, but I'm going to schedule some soon.
Cool. And if people want to learn more, they just go to markallenwithac.com.
Yeah.
When you were telling me that story, I was reminded of Eckhart Tolle's story where he went to bed suicidal and depressed and woke up with a bird outside the window that he identified as a diamond. And then he found such bliss in that moment, realizing that everything was just a BS story. And he was free, and he spent the next 2 years sleeping on park benches throughout the city. Very similar, you know, how life, see, what I've learned is that, you know, when we let go of outcome and we try to get away from ego and we move from the insanity of the head and the thoughts and the craziness and we move into our heart, where our true essence, our soul is, and I believe a piece of our creator as well, when we turn inward and we can get here, where we is our real self, then we can find out our real desire, and then we can manifest it.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes, yes. Yeah, Eckhart said, I mean, he was suicidally depressed at like 3 a.m. on the verge of suicide, saying, I can't live with myself any longer.
Yeah,
and he felt almost, it like hit him in the chest, right in his heart. He said it was a voice, so inner voice so strong, it hit him in the chest. And the words were just, resist nothing. And he got that as he later wrote, to offer no resistance to life is in a state of grace, ease, and lightness. And he really got that. The problem isn't out there. The problem is our own inner resistance to it.
Right, right.
The problem, we don't like what's going on. We don't like being depressed.
Right.
We don't like being, you know, life isn't supposed to be that way. Well, life is that way.
We're, you know, so you, obviously you have a lack of ego and you're not doing it for the pride and all that. So I want to explore that with you when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us today, and we'll be right back. To the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show. Sorry about that little glitch we just had. It reminded me of when I was in Hawaii not too long ago, and they put out a message that missiles were inbound. And fortunately, we got it 2 minutes before they called it off, so we didn't have to panic. But I felt like doing one of those, what was the guy's name? Wells, Orson Welles, War of the Worlds during that. We'll stay away from that. Everybody's a little sensitive right now. So anyways, we're here with a special guest, Mark Allen, and we're starting to evolve into consciousness and stuff like that. And in looking at your inventory of books on your website, Mark, I saw a book on plant medicine, ayahuasca. Are you familiar with that? Have you dealt with that or any opinions on that?
I am not personally familiar with that one. I have dealt with similar substances, that's for sure, of mescaline and peyote and things. But I found the book interesting, that's for sure, but I'm not familiar with it myself.
The reason I ask is I'm headed to New Mexico with some Native Indians for the weekend to teach a little bit about the creation frequency.
Oh.
They might have some of that going on, but my understanding is it's very healing for the soul. It's a bark from the Amazon that really is like, understands your persona. It's going to heal you, whether it's mental, emotional, physical. And so I'm looking forward to at least checking it out.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued by now there's more and more healing uses for the organic psychedelic drugs. That's good. It's a good thing. I think
it's good with PTSD, and then, you know, the legalization of marijuana. We'll just hope that the government, Big Pharma, and everybody else doesn't screw up, because I do think there's a lot of healing properties in these plants. You know, the Bible says, you know, that the Creator gave us everything in nature that we will ever need to heal ourselves. And unfortunately, about 1900, they created this allopathic medicine, which frankly is not looking too good to me. So anyways, I'll pass. But for those of you that are in that system, I understand it perfectly. Well, listen, because of this little screw up here, we're about out of time, but I'm going to do a little commercial for the creation frequency since I have my publisher on the show here today.
Yes.
But more importantly, along with the book, folks, which is a very good, powerful book if you want to create a better life for you and your family. And we also have a free app, which I mentioned earlier, where you can download it for free. And we teach you how to record your intentions into the app, and then listen every morning, every night, embedded with high frequency music. And I believe we're reprogramming the subconscious mind, and you're telling those subconscious mind, which
goes through a million bits of information every second and then delivers 40 to your conscious mind based on what it thinks you want. Well, I believe in telling the subconscious mind exactly what you want. So now when it goes through those million bits of information every second, it's going to give you the information you need to bring into your physical reality, the life that you truly desire. At the same time, while listening, that energy vibration frequency is going out into the world. Now we know they can measure the frequency in my heart at least 20 feet out from me, but that's as most as their equipment can measure. It may go infinitely. We don't know. But I believe that this sound, this intention, this vibration of creating your perfect life goes out there, and then all of a sudden the right funding shows up, the right teacher, the right opportunity, or the right thought is delivered to you to create the life of your dreams. So anyways, we'll give you a special deal. Go to creationfrequency.com, put in promo code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, get a $200 discount. You won't regret it. Your life will get better. I guarantee you that. Mark, just thank you so much for being in my life and what you do in the world. And if you want to learn more about Mark, markallenwithac.com. Check it out. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Byron Katie, hopefully Marianne Williamson. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Mike Murphy, unfiltered, unfettered, unflinching, unafraid, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in, and don't miss the next Unfiltered show next Thursday from noon to 2 Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Mike Murphy and a cast of powerful guests strip away the veil of limitation using the groundbreaking practices of the creation frequency. Tune in to unleash the power of your mind. Open the immense energy of the heart to manifest an awesome life filled with true health, wealth, confidence, gratitude, and joy. Unfiltered truth, unfiltered frequency, unfiltered possibilities on Mike Murphy Unfiltered Radio. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.